I know there's been a core group of you that have pretty much been able to make all of this Zeodia, but I know some have been a little bit hit and miss. So just to bring us all to this final point, in a word, it's a gift. Sacrament is a gift. It's a gift of God's life and a gift of God's grace. And the whole point, as we've said over and over, is to open ourselves up to this gift, but with the full realization that it is for us, and it is meant to transform us, but it's not meant just for us. It's supposed to work in us and through us to others. So for the last time that we gathered and then today, we've been talking specifically about the call to evangelization and beginning with being involved in our parish community. So last week, we talked specifically about liturgical ministries. We had a pad of paper out there, and we told you, feel free to sign up for something on the way out. Two of you actually did. No, we told you that you can pray about it and be ready to come back and see what you might want to think about. Now, I want you to approach this the way you approach RCIA, whether it's liturgical ministries or the ministries we're going to talk about here. And by the way, probably both, right? I want you to approach it the way you approached RCIA. So you thought, something tell me I should check this out. Okay, I'll at least go check it out, right? And you did that much. And then you were challenged just to be open about it. And so you went through a period of inquiry and some training, some knowledge, some encouragement, some faith sharing, and then you knew what was right and you proceeded. That's what how we want you to approach this. So for example, since Diana's here, and Diana's the coordinator of the Eucharistic Ministry, if you thought, wow, that sounds like a cool thing, but I don't know if I can stand up in front of everybody, and I don't know, I'd be nervous to be a minister of the Eucharist, I don't know. Hey, if that interest is inside you, then you deserve to check that out. What is that prompting of the Spirit? So at least go to an inquiry. Diana, just kind of meet with Diana and those who are interested. She'll explain what it is. You'll go through the training, the how-to, and then you can see. And Diana will tell you that day. If you're ready now, sign up. We'll get you on the schedule next time. If you're not sure, just think and pray about it. When you go to Mass, watch that ministry. If you want to kind of shadow that, Debbie's here. Deb's here. She said if you want to be a sacristan, the best way she trains is to shadow. You can shadow her for 6 months and never get on the schedule if you want until you feel that you're comfortable. Okay? So at least keep your minds and your hearts open and approach it that way. If you've ever thought about one of these things, then you deserve to go check it out. Or maybe Christ deserves for you to go and check that out. Okay? So let's take a look at some of the other ministries involved in our church that aren't specifically about liturgy. And so we'll start with that quote. Whatsoever you do for the least of my brothers or for the little ones or for others, Jesus says, that you do for me. Okay. Let's go when somebody says that. Want to know a secret? Okay, so I want to start specifically with where we are at in the liturgical calendar and what we're approaching to. And trust me, this might not just be a little bit interesting because it's information that you haven't been exposed to, but it really connects to what we're talking about. So what's the season that we're in right now? It's the Easter season. Okay? How long is the Easter season? Yeah, it's more like 7 weeks. It's 50 days. Literally, it's 50 days. Okay, there is one big feast day at the 40-day mark. You know what it is? Pentecost is at the end. That's the 50 days. Penta, right? The five tens. Penta,
right? Next year, just right over.
Right. But 48 through 4 happens to be a Thursday. So it's the ascension of the Lord. Now, in most of the dioceses in the United States, we actually transfer that to a Sunday. So it'll be the Sunday right before Pentecost that we'll celebrate the ascension. If this were the year 200 AD, we'd actually be in the middle of Pentecost. Think about it for a minute. Pentecost we celebrate for how long? One day, right? We celebrate it on a Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, and then we go back to ordinary time. In the early church, both Pentecost and Easter were celebrated together for 50 days. It changed in the late 300s. fourth century. And these two feasts, the Passover, the Pesach, which is what Easter is, and Pentecost, are the two major feast days that Passover and were retained from our Jewish roots. They have a lot of feasts, just as we do. These two remained as part of the Christian faith. You know which one's which? The one on the left is a symbol of? Pesach, Passover. And for Christian and Easter. And the one on the right is Pentecost. Okay, what do the two images mean? What's the feast of Passover? Do we know that story? Well, this is obviously a what? A lamb. But take a look at it. Can you see it's bound, right? All four of its legs are tied together. So what kind of lamb is that? It's a lamb that's going to be sacrificed. Okay. And over on the right, maybe those are closest. Can you describe that? What do you think that is a picture of? Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of imagery of the Holy Spirit, but what is this really here? This is a what? I mean, it's obviously not flatland, it's not a desert, that's a huge mountain, okay? And so you've got the power of God, the glory of God, and a mountain, and if you're really close, you can probably see it. You see one person standing there, right? What's this? The story of what?
Moses.
Yeah, Moses receiving the Ten Commandments, huh? Okay. So, some more imagery. The story of Passover. Remember, this was the chosen people who were in Egypt and were slaves in Egypt to Pharaoh, right? And God sends Moses to save his people and bring them back to the promised land. And you go through the whole 10 plagues to persuade Pharaoh to let them go. And so the night before they go, God gives instruction to the leaders to tell the people, you need to mark the doorway of the doors of your homes. You're going to mark it with the blood of a fresh sacrificed lamb. Then you're going to roast that lamb. You're going to bake bread without yeast. So it's unleavened, so it'll cook quickly. Because you're going to need to eat this meal and get out of town. Get out of Dodge. Right? And so what happened that night? The final plague that convinced Pharaoh, you just get out of here. The angel of death came and killed every firstborn male. Human and animal, except for those that lived in a home marked with the blood of the lamb. You see the imagery here? So, this is the kind of language that we hear about Christ's sacrifice, that we are saved by the blood of the lamb, by the sacrifice, right? So Jesus saves us not from slavery in this world, but the slavery to sin, which could bind us and keep us from being free forever, but instead defeat sin, defeat death, right? So you can see why the Christian church kept that feast day then, right? Because what they saw in this was a precursor, a harbinger, an example of a precursor, you know, prophetic way of seeing what was going to be the meaning of Christ's sacrifice. Pentecost. Pentecost was God giving the law to Moses for the people. What was the law all about? It helps God's people be in a right relationship with God. If you're going to be in a right relationship with God, then follow these commandments so that you honor me as God and you treat each other with honor, because you can't honor me and disrespect each other. These Ten Commandments, Jesus made very clear, is the law of love. When he was challenged, which is the greatest, he goes, well, here it is. Love God with your whole being and love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep these two laws of love, you keep all the commandments and all the prophets. Okay? So Pentecost for us is what? What happens to the disciples at Pentecost? They receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? Well, think about this. These were laws etched on tablets given to Moses. Why? So they could make sure if they follow these, they have a right relationship with God. Jesus comes to us, is the law, and makes it thousand times easier to have a relationship with God because we can relate to Jesus, who is God and man, in ways we could never relate to God before. All right? The one thing that was missing for us to be empowered to do this to its fullest was the Holy Spirit, which comes to us when Jesus ascends to heaven and promises not to ever leave us alone. He'll always be with us, and we're graced with the Holy Spirit. So they saw the parallel with this event in the Jewish faith with the event of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit on the apostles. All right? Still have your attention? The secret thing, is it working? All right, so during this 50-day period, back then in the church, the early church, before this change, this is how it worked for the catechumen. They were taught the basics of the gospel story and how to live a moral Christian life, but they were not yet taught about sacraments. Now think about how we did this. We started off by talking about scripture and then prayer. We talked about the Mass, and then we dove right into sacraments. And that took like half a year, right, to get to that point. Here, you would have done everything that we did this year, and you wouldn't even begin to talk about sacraments until after you received them. Because the thought there was, how could you possibly understand the mystery of sanctifying grace if you didn't have the grace within you? How could you understand the real presence of Christ without having first received the real presence? Or the power of the Holy Spirit, unless you receive that power within you. So that was the thinking of the church. It shifted, like I said, in the 4th century. Today, when we look back on that period of church history, if you're studying this, it's called the discipline of the secret. They kept this discipline of not sharing the most important part of the faith, the sacrament, and they left it for the very end. So, only after receiving sacraments would those coming in the church have the grace needed to understand them. So, you would have to have been baptized first, right, Monique? Or confirmed first. Or receive the real presence of Christ, the need of Christ. Okay? It was just done a different way. It was done that way to stress the mystery of it all. So remember, what we've been stressing this whole period of time that we've been meeting for the last 4 weeks. Sacraments are gifts that are meant to be kept on giving. Remember when I first talked about sacraments, I had that Russian doll? Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. And it was the big doll, and you opened up, there's a little doll. It's like 12 dolls until it was like the size of my pinky, right? Similar. Only the difference is, as you keep opening up, it's not smaller, it's bigger. It's the reverse. But it only happens if we're open to the grace working in us and through us. So again, we have to be willing to share what we receive. So if you never get involved in living your faith outside of your home, then you're not fully living your faith. If you're not comfortable doing so here in the parish family, then you're probably not going to be all that effective out in the workplace and the greater world. These are the training grounds. These are the places where we get good at this and are supported at this so we can take this out into the greater world. Okay. So let's do a little bit of reflection here, and then we'll take a look at the remaining mysteries that we want to make sure you're exposed to. So for our consideration, and let's do this as a whole group, okay? Rather than the small group thing, I want to make sure that we don't spend too much time on this and we have sufficient time for going through the ministry. So what are some examples of community or Christian service that you have offered up to this point? And what was the experience like? So I think we had a similar question at one point in time after we did a little service. So maybe we could start by saying, what was our service like before our CIA? If we've done service since, what was that experience like? And maybe compare the two. Okay. This way, by the way, people at NIST, they can hear our conversation. It's kind of harder with the smaller attendance. So there's a few people missing, and we're hoping they're going to catch up. Give me some examples of the ways you've done any kind of service for other people before you came to RCI.
We delivered food baskets.
Before you came to RCI?
Yeah.
Okay. Was that through church?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Mm-hmm.
I did gardening and painting and other sorts of labor around here before RCI.
Yeah. I remember you tackling that bush up on the patio.
It was a
demon vine.
It was amazing 40 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Habitat for Humanity.
Okay.
We take the food from the bin back to the back.
Not real sexy job, but necessary in order to get food to people. Easy for little kids to help too, right? Yeah. Not a lot of service before you came to RCIA. Okay. What was the motivation for the service before RCIA? Why were you doing it?
Family thing.
Something you do as a family?
My mom was the person that started, and we all...
Okay. So you all just did what mom did to continue the tradition, but did you know why you were doing it?
To help
people in need.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we delivered the food baskets. Yeah, that was a children's thing. Yeah.
So you wanted your children to understand that it's important to help those who need help.
Exactly.
Okay.
I had a longing to join a community, and this just happened to be a community. I wanted to serve. I didn't know.
You had a period of time where you had some free time.
Yes, I was out of work. And I had only get that thought I had was my ability to provide some physical labor.
How to clean up the mission, and the way that I was doing it, I just did it to be half time with the Lord and to do something that I knew would help the church because the Father asked for help.
Okay.
So I went and I bought supplies at South Carolina, which is all my, like, to pick up my daughter from school. I go a little bit earlier, and I go and I clean up for them, and vacuum, and do all that.
Literally, doing clean.
Yeah.
Cleaning church. Yeah. And why? What was the motivation?
When my mother asked if I needed help, then I knew that I had a little bit of time, and I knew that that's the house of the Lord.
Okay.
And so God was calling out to me, saying that there is time for me to do that, I wanted to give it and do it.
Okay. So you heard that, but you took that personally?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had the time that I was there already.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What kinds of service? Oh, quick. Begin.
So, yeah, before, like, one of the things that I would do when I was coaching the teams is I would have myself and the guys that I coach do some kind of service, whether it was raising money for pediatric cancer, or I was helping run a camp for kids that don't normally get to go to a baseball camp or something like that, and teaching them how it feels to give back and the importance of being able to give back to the community and to be grateful for everything that we have.
Now, why would you do that as a coach? That it's not a necessary thing that coach needs to do.
I think it was just great, like, it was for the greater good of humanity to treat people good. I mean, I think before being here, I think I always had that sense of feeling like that's what God wants me to do anyway.
Did you come up with that idea, or did a coach model that for you at one point?
I was modeled.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So is it fair to say, it sounds like to me that whether you're responding to a call or something personal, that somewhere along the line somebody modeled that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And therefore, if you had children, you wanted to make sure that the baton was passed to.
Okay.
How do you see it now? What types of service have you done in the last year?
Okay.
How many of you came to that? Went into and helped cook or serve or clean or whatever. Okay. Say. Oh yes, yeah. You when we did the stained glass window prayer experience in Lent, we wanted that to be a gift to the parish from RCIA. So a number of you volunteered, and a few of you were
invited or voluntold or
encouraged. Okay, good. But you took it from that perspective. It was a gift.
Okay.
Cool.
And some of us have been a couple years since then. So, what are other examples of service?
Friendship Sunday, RCIA.
Okay. Just many years.
Yeah,
then
one stop.
One stop.
Okay. Does everybody know what they're talking about? These different things?
Okay.
We're going to talk about these. All right.
Hey, Jim, you were a one stop participant before
I'm,
you,
I,
before
I
you ever considered RCIA?
I was here making sandwiches for people I did not know.
Yeah.
She ruined
the call.
Oh, I heard
it. It happened
to be my phone.
It wasn't a priest, or it wasn't God.
He's not
going to
leave
me
alone.
And the motivation for doing that, was it the same or was it different at all from the motivation of somebody modeled this for me, I found meaning in that, I want to pass it on to another generation? Is it the same? Different? What's your motivation for serving, Kim?
It's something that I've done for 30 years, but I'm paid to serve other people. So it feels better to donate my time to Friendship Sunday than, you know, I can have a kind word and move it right along because there's 100 people behind you and I don't have to spend a lot of time with one person, and that makes me more comfortable.
Can you put your finger on anything different since receiving sacraments, either in what you do or how you do it when you serve?
It's joyful to me, anyway. Does that make any sense?
Sure, sure.
I feel compelled to do things that I didn't before.
That's a strong word, compelled.
Internally,
okay. Because sometimes you can be compelled to force from somebody to do something you don't want to do, but this is something from within that you feel like you can't say no to, or you don't want to say no to.
I don't want
to. Okay.
And if I don't do it, then I feel like I'm not doing my part.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think for me, because I look at those back there, there are a couple things that I know that I feel like this is what I need to do, this is what I want to do, and this is, I can use the gifts that I've been given through God, but I also feel like as much as I give them, I need them.
Okay. And when Matt says those, in case everyone didn't see or for people who are listening, there are two tables with lists of various ministries that you can sign up for. That's okay. No, we introduced it last week, so that's fine. Well, I hope what you see here or what you experience here is this. If you're sitting there going, I really haven't done that much yet since I started RCA, that's okay. Well, you are investing yourself in what's the whole RCIA process. That was a huge investment of time and yourself. But the point here is, if it stops here, then what was that investment really about?
Yeah.
What's the purpose? And what you're hearing from the people who have a couple more years experience of living sacraments, it is different now. Okay? In the prayer we talked about peace is evidence of the Holy Spirit. Well, there's a number of things that are evidence of the Holy Spirit, and another one is joy. I mean, real joy, not like happy, I'm happy for an hour and then, you know, now I'm not happy, you know, the highs and lows. It's the constant joy that comes from fulfillment, that you know you are true to who you are, and you are becoming what God wants you to become, and you're making the difference God wants you to make in the world. That kind of joy. Okay. And it's the feeling of being compassionate. I mean, we can't say it any clearer than we have the last 4 days, that this gift is not just for you, and you need to share this, and you need to spend some time to think about it. What are the gifts you've been given? What are the needs that are around you, and how's that a match? And even if it's not something easy, now even if it's like, I don't know if I can do that, well, you'll never know until you try. And if you have that thought, then act on the thought. Believe me, if that's not where God wants you to be, He'll make that evident. God will make that evident. And you'll be moved into another direction. Just stay open.
So, what are some new ways of serving you're considering? Matt, you already mentioned you cheated and went over and signed up. So tell us what you signed up for.
I signed up for RCIA and also signed up for the RCIT.
Which is the RCIA experience for youth.
For, yeah, exactly. And the reason I did that, I like talking to people. I like getting to know other people. I like to hear other people's stories. I feel that in listening, it gives me new perspective. And then it also allows me to teach in that same way. I'm not really shy, you know, as far as that goes. So right. I'm not
afraid to get it. That's one of your gifts.
I think that the other part of it is I always think that I'm a student of everything. I have to continue to learn. So I think that's the best way to do that.
Name some other things at this table that you might be considering doing.
And I know we're going to expose you to some more now, but
anything
from last year?
We talked about the surgery.
Okay.
Environmental. Helping with the decor of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We can come back to this everyone. How about this table? Okay. What do you consider?
I'm
putting you on the spot.
I was considering going up and reading the Bible.
It'll be an elective.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And just continue to work with the church like that, and then helping the youth or youth to youth.
Okay. And you can trade as an usher too.
Oh, yeah.
You can be an usher if you can.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
going to
work with the Bible camp.
Oh, good. Have you told Rochelle already?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we have a vacation Bible camp, the 1 week experience for our children.
I should have
it
up
this
year. Rochelle went through RCIA, and she'll be the head of the center. Okay, and that's the second week of July in the morning. So you basically have to be available if you're going to be there for that week, Monday through Friday. Some people have to take your vacation for that. But even if you're not available then, you can be part of the planning team. There's a lot of work to go on.
Is it half day or all day?
Half day.
And ages of the kids?
The ages are kindergarten through
fifth grade.
Yeah. Father Joe, that was probably, outside of St. Mass's, first experience. We jumped in right into camp. I mean, we literally jumped in and came in, and he was part of the skits that warmed up the day. He was Padre Sarah. Yeah. I was Moses, and he was Padre Sarah. He was the ranger, camp ranger. Did you hear what he had to answer you this time?
Yes.
Can I say it out loud?
Sure.
So the theme is God's grandeur and creation and the stars of heaven, and it's like some astronomy thing we're doing. So there's kind of I forget what the saying is on the shirt, but it looks like a Star Wars kind of thing with the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're thinking, what was it, Obi-Wan
Diego.
One day we're going to talk about our name, Guadalupe, you know, the stars in a row, that thing. It was going to be Obi-Wan Diego. Did you say yes?
I said I'm seeing that for
you. In a shirt, that's a yes. All right, here we go.
Sure. I'm interested in choir. Charlie
says he hasn't had someone from RCA for 2 years, so he's pushing me to hopefully get
singing the views as well.
But you know, playing guitar today,
that turns up. I'm trying to figure that out. As soon as I get a little bit more time.
Anybody else? Last check.
What about tenor life?
I registered or signed up to do my story.
We have a Respect Life group. Yeah, that supports Tender Life and other things as well. So that's we'll be talking about that in a minute. Okay? All right, good. Last question. I want you to really think about this. What's holding you back? Okay. That's fair. Responsibilities, family responsibilities. What else? What could possibly be holding you back?
Fear.
Okay. That's honest. We talked about that in the prayer, right?
right? Most of our fears are fears about worldly things, like maybe failing, or looking dumb, or being up in front of people, and what are they're judging me, what are they saying about me? Or I'm not going to have time for this or that, jobs, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, well, Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me. Let me give you peace, the peace that only I can give. So I didn't mean to be so flippant for Father. Father's response is a good response. He was invited to do something. Well, he's got to get up there on stage in front of kids. And he did a great job last year, but I don't know how comfortable he was. If he was uncomfortable, he hit it pretty well. But when somebody asks you to do something and you're not absolutely sure, you should take some time and think and pray about it.
Well, I mentioned last week that, I mean, like everybody else, I have a million things going on. I don't actually have time to do anything. So I guess if somebody asks or somebody volunteers, I'm going to do it. I can't be a part of something and not participate in what's going on.
Yeah. And we can always come up with a reason to delay and put off. Because our lives are busy. That's absolutely true. But you can't deny the fact that you've been given a gift. A gift that's not just for you. A gift that's meant to be shared. Not to mention all the gifts that God's given you in your life, your talents and everything else. Well, now that you've been given the gift of the Spirit, it does all come down to priorities. So this does need to be a priority. So when you think and pray, and you need that balance in your life, God's not asking you to go 90 miles an hour until you burn out. But as you continue to think and pray, what your priorities are, and as life changes, sometimes things change. People move from one ministry to another sometimes because that fits better for where they're at that point in life. But the point is this. It needs to be a priority. It needs to be the right after family. What your own family? This is your family as well. So what can you do for your family? What does your family need you to do? What does God want you to do for your parish family? And then your family of God, the whole community. Okay? Alright. That same image, I'm going to hammer it home. Remember the story I put a couple of weeks ago in the Basin Theology. Alright? That whole idea that life is really a choice between two things. Basin Theology is, alright, are you washing your hands in Pilate's basin? And saying, okay, well, not for me. I wash my hands of all this. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. Or are you going to follow Christ's example? And tie that towel around your waist, bend down with a bowl of water, and serve those who need to be served. Wash the feet of your brothers and sisters. That's the choice that's before us. Just please remember this, that if you read the Gospels, it's absolutely painfully clear that Jesus says that the poor must be our priority. And when you look at where Jesus went and spent his time, he almost always started with those that were most in need. Poor could be financially poor. It could be emotionally poor. Could be spiritually poor. I mean, there's so many ways of poverty. But it's people that are in great need. And Christ always met their need first, which makes sense. So to be able to do that, it means relationship. And it's a mutual relationship. Please, don't go into doing but the things of service as if I'm doing it for these people. Mm-hmm. No. It's more like my brother and sister are in need and I'm the first one that should be there to be with them. Okay? I neglected to say it before prayer and I want to say it now. Please keep Michael Bayard on your purse. Okay? Trish gave me a call right before. She had hoped to still come. Michael's been in the hospital again today. Just give me a chance. So, he just got the medication about 6 o'clock and the side effects of being dizzy, and he told me I could share all this. And so, Trish didn't want to leave by himself. Okay? Well, they're hoping that his kidneys are going to kick in again and then stabilize it for good. Otherwise, he's going to have to go on dialysis. So they're asking for all your prayers. Put them up in prayer. Well, there's the service. I mean, you can fit that into a busy schedule, right? So, sometimes it's just being a prayer warrior. Who are the people that most need your help? Hey, if you can visit somebody who's sick or somebody who's in need, or bring them a meal, that's important as well. But if you're really not in a position to do any of that, you can sure lift people up in prayer. Hey, if that means not turning on the radio when you're at your work, And instead, you spend that in prayer, lifting people up who are need to be supported by prayer. There is that power. So, okay. So whatever you do for the least, for others, you do for me. Let's take a break here, and then we're going to come back and take a look at some issues.
Okay, this is a little out of time here before we come back in. Is there anybody that wasn't here when we passed out the flyer about our summer session? Okay. I emailed you one, but here I am. So, again, this is going to be, I'm calling it a bridge activity. So, really, it's going to fill the need for those of you who really appreciate the opportunity on a weekly basis to gather in small faith community and to feed your continued faith formation. But we will be welcoming, in a very simple way, those who are praying about inquiring RCIA for next year. So no better way for them to be welcomed into this and, you know, anxieties dispelled than by people who knew exactly how they felt a year ago. We may have a few more people from the parish as well come, and we're going to use what's called the Discovering Christ series. It's very simple. So we'll come, well, about 15 minutes of literally sitting down and just sharing lives, share what's going on in our lives over some food. There'll be a 30-minute video and 30 minutes for discussion. And you time it. We don't go over the 30 minutes because we don't want to overwhelm those who are coming new too. And some of the people in the parish, you know, people are on different levels. So this is designed for people who are maybe a little bit farther down the path or are ready to take off, and those who, you know, just want to stay. So, you know, it works for all. Okay. All right. So what we really want to do is make sure you're exposed to these ministries. And what Dana reminded me is that we don't need to go on and on about things you already know about. So what I'm going to do is introduce what the ministry is, and then we'll help fill in the gaps. Or if it's something you don't understand, then we'll start talking about it. Now, I've done enough talking tonight. Really, I don't need to do this whole thing when the whole team is experienced with it. So I want the team to jump in with it. So if somebody has a question, jump in. And I may just look at Patty because I know Patty, when we talk about RCIA for children, Patty's been doing that on that team for a while. So, but keep your explanations brief because Dan has something to share just at the very end as well. I'm going to give her enough time. So keep it a brief explanation, and if somebody has a question after that brief explanation, we'll answer the question. Remember, we're not trying to sell people on it. We're just kind of seeding these opportunities. And then you just sign up if you're interested, and then you'll be invited to come learn more about it, to be trained, and then you can still discern and decide if you're interested. Okay? All right. So faith formation. This encompasses a lot. RCIA is part of faith formation, obviously. Faith formation is how we continue to be molded and shaped into that best version of ourselves. We do that by growing in our faith tradition, by being scripture-filled. And we do it on age-appropriate levels, and we meet people where they're at. That's why we have these different aspects that we'll talk about. So, religious education is an underlying thing. Religious education is as young as preschool, and it goes to, yes, all ages of adulthood. Okay. We do have a religious ed coordinator. Currently, that's Mary Yeager. Mary has announced some time ago that she's stepping down from that position. She's retiring from that. But we'll still be available in Baldwin Parish, just not for that particular ministry. So we're actually beginning to our search for that. I met with somebody today who's coming up with the job description, and we're going to see the bulletin and all that. But anyway, that particular person concentrates on preschool, a little bit preschool, but up to age grade 5. Then faith formation would be EDGE for middle school, and confirmation program and youth group, which is Gabe, our youth minister. Okay. Then we have all kinds of faith formation for adults, just all kinds of things. RCA is probably the most prominent because we meet every week for about
But then those people who are already fully initiated, they need to have opportunities for faith formation. So one of those that we have is we participate in the university series. You all heard about this series. Who went to at least one of the sessions? Did anybody actually go? Okay. All right. Well, we had some here at our parish as well. So I would seriously encourage you to participate next year. So if you feel like Lance rolling around, like, gosh, I really miss learning more about my faith from RCIA, well, open up that brochure, that catalog, and look through it. It goes from liturgy to history to sacraments to whatever, and pick what you like. And sometimes you have to drive a bit. It could be all around the county. But if it's something you're interested in, it's worthwhile. Natural family planning. These are couples who help other couples who are married and looking to plan their families to work in partnership with God and to do that in a natural way. We have sacramental preparation. So that's where RCA fits in best. So sacramental preparation is exactly what it is, preparing people for sacraments. And RCA is the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. You all are familiar with that. It's adapted for youth, so sometimes we call that RCIT for teens. And it's adapted for children. Sometimes we call that RCIC for children. It's literally what you experience, but on the level of middle school to high school or children. Okay. I'm glad to hear somebody's already interested in for youth, because we had a fairly large team for a couple of years, and then this year it was just Dave and I. And we have been given this challenge of offering that as a six-week experience around their other faith formation that they're in, but principally because of quinceañeras and young ladies coming, and they don't have all the sacraments. Well, we have decided that, okay, if you're going to have a quinceañera at the church, you need to be involved in the church. Otherwise, you can have it at another locale, and it's fine. You can do that. So if we're going to meet people where they're at, we can't just say, oh, it's only offered February through March, but I want to have my quinceañera in November. Well, that's not going to work. Well, so now we're looking at offering it two different times in the year. So just like weddings, you got to give 6 months of planning. Okay, you should be planning ahead. Hey, people are planning a year event to get the venue they want. So tell us when you have your venue. We'll sit down and we'll explain to you. Okay, you need to be sacramental prep. Right, here's our, so we're going to need someone on the team, is what I'm saying. A couple words, maybe, about RCIA for children?
For children, the RCIC program are with our children who are already in religious education, and they have to have 2 years of religious education before they receive their first Holy Communion. And in order for that to happen, they have to be baptized. And we always run into a handful of children every year during the registration process that have not been baptized. So we have our RCIA for children is 2 Sundays a month, usually beginning in October. We do have a set agenda, but I think we might be changing it around a little bit.
What we're looking at is both for the youth and for the children, for it to be a united program with the adults. So obviously age appropriate, but we're looking at everything being consistent in following the RCIA model. So I don't know how many changes that's going to be, but we're looking at both that way. But the key for RCIA for children is it's not just the children, right?
It's not just the children. We need 10:45 2 Sundays a month, and they have to have a parent or their godparent that attend them with them. So it's an experience for the parents or the grandparents, usually the parents, and a lot of times the grandparents. And after we finish every year, we just had our baptism a couple of weeks ago, and it's always so interesting, the parents coming to us and saying, I learned so much during this process. And it's just a joy to walk with our children. We have 6 children this year that were baptized between Easter Sunday and a couple of weeks ago. Last year we had, most years it's usually a smaller group. And
well, it may be getting larger. Just like RCIA has gotten larger, and as this quality merit card program we have, there are people that are feeding into RCIA, and RCIA is feeding into that. As someone in the family is identified as interested, it's just like you talked about, it affects the whole family. And so this whole thing with quinceañeras, why are we going to have more opportunities to teach? Because we're going to have more there. So we're building this program up to meet the needs of everyone in that situation, which means we expect more people. So the challenge with this one, and the question, the challenge is, as you can see, to have people on the team that have the gift to be able to help children connect in their lives to what this whole RCIA experience is, and for adults as well. Some people can do both well. Some people do one well and the other well. So we need to make sure the team is addressing both, and we have people who are talented to answer the question. That's a really good question. So that's one of the things that we're looking at as we're looking to identify and hire a new coordinator. So one of the areas that we're looking at is, can we do a better job, and how do we want to do that? And not just recruiting people for these positions, but helping support them, train them, to be effective. So you're asking me what kind of training. I'd like to be able to say what you need, training and support. Okay. Now, I'll tell you that if you look at my job description as pastoral associate, the two main responsibilities I have are faith formation and sacramental prep. So the buck stops with the pastor, but that buck's delegated to me on a database, just so that he knows. So that's why, if you take something on and you have a need, you don't have your homework. Infant baptisms. This involves not preparing infants, it's preparing the parents and the godparents. So a lot of times parents come and they want to have their baby baptized. Why? Because that's what we do in our family. What does it mean? They don't have a real solid understanding. So in order for their child to be baptized, they make promises to God in the ceremony. Well, it's not right for us to baptize them and have them say these things if they don't understand what they're saying, what it means, and what they're promising. And how this church is going to back them up in that regard. And of course, our parents are right there backing up the parents. So there's got to be sacramental baptismal prep classes for parents and godparents. That process is being looked at and very, very strongly now, because we want to strengthen that one. Deacon Phil and Father Joe have been tasked with that from Father Leon. So one of the things really that we're looking at is the model that's working well in RCIA, the model that's working well in the marriage prep program, and other things in the parish. This type of a faith-sharing dynamic that has quality catechesis built into that. But it's connecting people with love. That's kind of cool. You know, if you have a passion for baptism, and you love little babies, and parents are bringing them to the church, that's an area to get involved with. Confirmation. So confirmation is mainly our youth. So we have one on the 18th and one on the 26th. I think we have about 96 youth being confirmed between those 2 days. We have 3 adults. One sitting right here. And Mariana also. They went to RCIA, but their family couldn't come to the vigil. So they're going to be confirmed on the 18th. So invitation, open invitation, anybody want to come to these guys. We have one other adult who has gone basically through the marriage prep program, and so I've kind of helped him on the side, done what I needed to do to make sure he understands the sacraments, all the sacraments of initiation. So that's what I'm doing on Wednesday, by the way. Friday, by the way, so I can't. Oh, okay. All right. But you can be involved with that. Especially youth. And when we have 2 years of confirmation at about 100 kids each, and they meet, each of these meet every other Sunday, so that means if you're helping with one of those, it's an every other Sunday commitment. You invite them to Mass, and when you're here, we feed them, and then they have their confirmation experience. It's similar to our CIA. They meet together as a whole group of about 100 kids, they do something together. Then they go together in their families. So then you have an adult who's a leader, maybe two adults, and then you have a couple of youth who have gone through confirmation and are kind of youth assistants. All right, and then you have maybe kids in your family, maybe 9 kids in your family. That's a commitment in 2 years, though, because you walk with that group of kids for 2 years. They have a heart for you. That's a really cool experience. Because you get to watch them grow, you know anything about, and all of us do at some point in time, but to walk a journey with someone for a year, like RCIA, imagine walking 2 years and seeing all that grow. An opportunity to have an impact on them. Okay? And then marriage. The marriage prep program we've had. We've talked about that in here. How many of you are in the marriage prep program?
There's a few more.
Yeah, I think we have 5 or 6 couples from RCIA. Say a couple words about what that experience has been like, if you don't mind. What's good about it? Or why do you keep coming?
It's a great environment. A lot of other married couples, some experience and some newly married. But it's good to hear, you know, from them to see what we're looking for.
So you meet once a month, third Saturday of the month, for a couple of hours, and there's some very solid catechesis and faith sharing. Just the model of RCIA, but it's all based around important elements of preparing for marriage. This, in addition to meeting with Father Joe or Father Leon or myself or one of the deacons who are preparing them for their ceremony, their couples ministry, everything else, this, instead of going to an all-weekend retreat, some of them are really good, some of them come back and stay over the weekend, but it's all here at your parish, and it's here with other couples, and one of the great things is you're building, correct me if I'm wrong, you're building relationships with other couples and building friendships with other couples who are going to live the sacrament of marriage, which is the greatest resource that we could give you, is to have relationships with other couples who are living in sacramental marriage too. There's no better support. Okay. So, if that's something that sounds interesting. All right? And then we have the following here too. We have spirituality and fellowship. So, Deacon Phil and Mary asked me to make sure that we highlighted Friendship Sunday. You all know what Friendship Sunday is by now, right? Okay. Well, they were going to be here tonight. They were going to go to dinner and come back and talk about Friendship Sunday. And I said, isn't it your anniversary today? And they said, yes, we're going to go out there and come back. I said, please don't disappoint us and come back. Go have a nice dinner. I said, we can promote Friendship Sunday here. And besides, you guys do know about it. Do you have any questions about it, what it is? It's hosted in the parish. You're coming back and continuing fellowship, right? Okay. But it's the Martha Mary thing, right? It's being Martha for a while, so everybody else can sit at the feet of Christ and the presence of Christ and others and benefit, right? Okay. So it's not hard, but it's maybe a commitment. And what Mary and Phil said is they need individuals, too, who they can count on and schedule maybe once a month for at least part of a Sunday. And they'll work with whatever your schedule is. If you can do the whole shmeal from, you know, the 8 o'clock mass to the 11 o'clock mass, great. It's not taking shifts. But there's times when they can count on groups to staff it, and there's times when they have to piece that together. And they're very faithful. They're there. And sometimes they're there with a skeleton crew. So they're saying, God, there's got to be some people here in RCIA. We come to mass anyway. At least come and help on the mass that you're there. And here's the other thing they said. Even if you're not scheduled, even if you're not doing it regularly, if you come on over, check in with them and say, hey, do you need any help? I'm here. Do you need help at least for the end of this mass? And if they've got plenty of help, they'll say, it's not the goal, please. And just fall in, help them out. Okay? We have 3 different mothers' groups. One's called the Moms Group, one's called Moms Morning, and one's called the Mothers Prayer Group. This one, I'm not sure that they meet regularly, but it's a prayer group of moms. Moms Morning is Thursday, right? Because you're a part of that, correct? And then the other moms group is Tuesday or Wednesday. And they don't meet here. I think they meet at someone's home. But anyway, why are there more than one to meet the needs? Okay. For some of them, they can get a sitter, or we do have sitters here, and they come here on Thursdays. And I know that group is a little smaller than this. Sometimes it's this large, but it's in this group on Thursday morning. The others in a home, obviously because, you know, maybe daycare issues or whatever. Women's and men's groups? Those are great groups to be a part of because you're going to have spirituality and catechesis. I could have put that under faith formation too. But it's basically meeting regularly with these groups. I think they meet once a month. I know the men do. Anybody part of men's group or women's group? Mm-hmm. Anybody ever go to the...
We go to the barbecue, right?
Yeah.
But it's always the thing that exists when I go there first.
But the good news is we're not meeting next Tuesday, and that's the men's barbecue, and it's the one every year that's open in the men and the women's affairs because we have a really dynamic good... So for $8, you can eat barbecue, have wine or beer, and have a good guest speaker and all the faith sharing too with a larger group. So you're all invited.
Okay.
Okay.
We
open
the
next retreat.
Okay.
Can you
say
that
again?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be a regularly part of the regular meeting of the group. When their retreats come up, it's for any man or any woman in the parish. So you may at some point in time go, wow, that sounds great for a retreat. Oh, I don't know anybody. Well, guess what? They're a group that you don't have to know anybody, and you'll feel real comfortable real quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And then for our seniors, you have the OLA Classics. And they have a number of activities, too. They tend to be in the day. They have a soup and salad thing where there's a movie regularly.
Okay.
The rest we've talked about probably one way or another. There's a prayer chain group. There's a prayer shawl group where name's the right term or whatever. They create the prayer shawls. The rosary makers, remember? Mm-hmm. That share the rosaries here. There's Eucharistic adoration. We've already exposed you to that. At any point in time, and that's in the bullets all the time, they need people to sign up for an hour for adoration.
Or even substitute.
Yeah, even if you're not on the regular rotation, just that you could be called to pinch it for somebody. Okay, service and outreach. Many meals and food baskets, you heard that talked about here. Does everybody, I think we've talked about many meals. Is there anybody that needs that explained? Many meals is on what night?
Wednesday
night. And it's at the church right across from the college.
Right.
There's a group that cooks in the hall in the afternoon prior. And then those that serve and take care of everything there that time. You can even drop in there. If you're going to be there regularly, you want to make sure that your word is trained and fingerprinted, which I should probably say that. In the church, it's not just our parish. It's throughout the whole archdiocese. And each diocese and archdiocese has to do this in some way, shape, or form. To be in regular ministry, you need to go through what's called virtus training, which is, it started off for protecting the children, but it's really more about looking out for protecting all people in one of our parish, whatever the age, but it tends to be young and old, right? And it's because of abuses in our society and in our own church, past history for that. We don't want that to ever get to that point again, and so we all get trained in being able to do the right thing and watch out for the right thing, to protect the vulnerable. And we get fingerprinted so that we can find out if people have records and what areas they could legitimately be a part of and maybe not be a part of. Yeah.
Just to get that clarification, if we did that in a different parish, we didn't, or did we can't grow, right? I volunteered for years in Sacred Heart and all that stuff.
The answer is you have to do it. Even though we do fingerprinting, let me be clear. So if you have been virtus trained, and you have logged on to the online regular training, then, yeah, it doesn't matter. You don't have to reach out because you're keeping it up, and there's an online record. And every time, it lasts for 4 years, and if you haven't kept up your training, you have to be retrained. But if you keep up with the online training, then you print out a certificate. Okay. So that you just produce wherever you go. If for the fingerprinting, even though the fingerprinting is done through mobile units from your archdiocese, when you move from parish to parish, you do make you fingerprint. So
Is that ever going to change? I don't know, but it has to do with confidentiality. To be honest with you, it has to do with consistency of record keeping in your area. So even though they have a system downtown, some parishes do a better job than others with record keeping. But I think that's why the archdiocese says when you start on another parish, just review the NBC. I'll tell you, if you teach at a Catholic school in the archdiocese, same thing. You move from school to school, you get re-fingerprinted. Because it's not like a Sacramento for, you know, all public school teachers. Okay? And it's not that big a deal. It's a two-hour training, two-and-a-half-hour training, and the fingerprinting is just, whenever we're hosting it here, you come in, and it's quick. You know, if there's no line, it takes you 5 minutes. If there's a line, it takes you 10. But we get to make sure, I'm usually volunteering too, or I take turns. We crank people up. Okay? So there's a respect life group. Who had asked about that? Tender Life? Okay. So what's that one called again? I just went to that meeting. Defenders of Life is what they're called. The Defenders of Life. There's a grief support group. There's a cancer support group. There's even a group that helps give people rides to Mass. Okay. And these don't exhaust everything. Just look at the bulletin. And this is probably the one that the most people help, or we need the most need with, is probably both. But there's some other things there as well. And so the contact people for each of these ministries is always in the bulletin. And you just contact them by email or by phone, whatever the information is. Questions about any of these? All right. Going all the way back to January and February when we talked about social justice. One of the visuals that's very popular about 10 years ago is that there are two feet to Christian service. It's charity and it's justice. Okay? And as God defines those terms. So charity is love without expecting anything in return. It's loving for the sake of the other, particularly those in need. And justice is making sure that things are right as God sees things. You know, doing it right as God would define right. And again, so it's making sure that all people are taken care of and that there's a dignity and respect for everyone, that we treat everyone as a brother and a sister. So it's another way of reminding ourselves of why we're doing this. Yes, it's a gift we've received, but to live that gift, it has to have these two elements, charity and justice. Okay. All right, Dan.
Our wonderful journey, which John and I...
Is it really an end?
Well, it's not an end, it's just the beginning, but it's always, you guys are our guests, and this is why we do this every year, is because we enjoy walking this journey with all of you. And so I know we'll see you guys doing some of these outreach things and these ministries throughout the church and everything like that. But there is a video I wanted to show you that kind of sums it up in Jesus' words, what we're supposed to be doing in this world. It's from the movie Risen, and I don't know if you've seen that. It came out a couple of years ago. It's a really wonderful, wonderful movie. But at the very end, it's about a, what is the guard? Centurion. About a centurion. Jesus died, Jesus was crucified. And now the people are afraid that Jesus' followers are going to take him out of the tomb and commit his body and make it look like Jesus rose from the dead. So the centurion, this guard, is in charge now to try to find the body of Jesus because it's gone. It's out of the tomb. So he's got to go to all these cemeteries and he's finding all the dead bodies and he's trying to see if they can find Jesus anywhere. In the meantime, Jesus shows up, of course, to the apostles and he's continuing his mission. And so the centurion joins up with these apostles.
He stumbles on them in an upper room and meets Jesus. Resurrected with the marks.
So they're going out, the disciples are going out to spread the word like Jesus has told them to go spread the word. And so they're in a park where they're kind of getting lonely, a little frustrated because Jesus isn't with them and they're just kind of wondering what's happening to him. And Jesus appears to all of them one last time.
There's Lisa, it's early morning.
there a place? Go. To all the world, preach the gospel. To all nations. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. And all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. And know that I will be with you. Always.
Be with you.
Now, go share the gift and the power of this gift, the good news that you receive. Sure, dinner is. Just one more time. There's 2 meals today. At 6 o'clock over at the Red Room. In the dining room in the backyard. We're going to date by the Joe's home. And, just kind of, it'll be, I'm not sure what the food's going to be good because it's going to be Kurt who does the catering for the Red Room. And we'll have some adult beverages and we'll have a good time. So it'll be a welcome to the parents by the parents council. Leave the tables down, leave the tablecloths on, leave the chairs, and bring the tables up.
So where am I going to go?
I got accepted.
You hear Barbara?
I will. No.
I heard a rumor you might not, but I hadn't heard from you. Which is probably very likely because I did it like last minute.
But everything went well last week.